Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 1178. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
I've kind of been amused. I feel like I do not jump on Twitter slash X that much these days, even less than before. But I did get a kick out of the fact that a couple of our friends are questioning our sanity for watching this product week in and week out. And I
I
cannot
have
say that I blame them.
what friends, when, how, where?
Steve and what's his name? What's his buddy from Atlanta?
Dave.
Dave. There are definitely some rough spots in the WWE.
Oh yeah, and these are not two people who are AEW apologists either.
No.
So no, this is just all wrestling is bad right now.
Yeah, this is kind of funny. Like I really feel like this time around, I think I've said it before, Stunt Granny now has been through at least two down periods in professional wrestling, if not three, if this is this being the third one.
I would say it's hard
Or
to.
maybe it's not say it's completely down
I
yet,
mean,
but
I, yeah,
it's definitely
I no,
lost some
I,
steam for
it's
sure.
definitely lost a lot of steam. I mean, I was trying to figure out like what really is considered ups and downs, especially if we were counting it 2008 as a starting point. It's like, it's, I mean, there were like, this is the longest. 2022 or so to 2026. Let's give them to the end of the John Cena retirement tour. Is the highest high they've reached in decades, essentially. I think that's not even in much dispute.
Yeah, I would say that that's probably the peak since the Attitude Era. Would you call the Attitude Era the best part of that kind of era? Like Ruthless
Yeah.
Aggression would
Ruthless
be
aggression. They
a
tried,
little bit of a downside to me, like
downside when
obviously
it.
popular, but not
Yeah.
as.
I mean, the other. There would be short bursts, shorter bursts where things felt like they were clicking. Then they would go
Oh.
down, even out. There's a lot
Yeah.
of even. There's a lot of, okay, this is whatever. It's not terrible, but it's not great either.
Oh,
And
yeah. Yeah.
we're maybe, I don't know, between all of, and we're just talking about, we're talking about all of wrestling. It's just like the big debate of this week is what segment was more embarrassing. Mick Foley with, oh God, what's the Megan Bates
Oh,
tag team
Divine
name?
Dominion.
Mick Foley with Divine Dovinion or the Danhausen Joe Hendry concert. It's like the fact that we're even having to debate this.
Yeah, two things that I did not fully watch. Oh, and I did not even intend that pun, honestly. Because I know I watched part of the segment with Divine Dominion, but did not wrap that up. I did not get to the part where he was barking like a dog, evidently.
He was barking, and not even well, really. He didn't really do a good job with his barking, and then the I don't know. Maybe people are right when they say Danhausen is best in short bursts. We're over. He's very been very. Especially over the last couple of weeks, been very overexposed on TV. It would appear.
Yeah, I mean, he went from one or two segments to a night to like almost a four segment kind of guy, and it's like I don't think we need that much, but they are definitely running with it for
Yeah,
whatever
and would
reason.
you do a segment that requires little people, dancers, instruments, mixing the characters of Danhausen with Joe Hendry. We have to get this boxer I've never heard of involved.
Oh boy, he really seems like a pleasant person.
Yeah, I don't really know much about him.
That was another one of the short Twitter interactions this morning that I saw. If the transcript I saw was correct, let's just say that he prefers white hoods. Again, not completely confirmed on my end. I'm just saying what I saw, which
Yeah, this
was
is not. Yeah,
supposedly a
no.
transcript of his
I'm reading the
podcast.
AI over. Yeah, I'm reading the AI over right now. Google AI over you right now. Yeah, no. It's not good. No. This is not. It's not. No. Yeah. Yeah. This is not what. None of this is what WWE should be doing. And it's just a bad. It's just so bad. I mean, and you add it all together, it's just gonna be a bad segment. You can't. Danhausen knows his character. I think there was parts about being in WWE that helped. But now if WWE Creative is just going to be thinking, I have an idea, that's not going to
Well,
lead to anything good.
yeah, well, just keep it more limited. Like, I do almost feel like this whole give Judgment Day their money back shtick has gone on about a month longer than I've needed it to go on,
Yeah.
too. Like, it feels like a full-blown feud that doesn't need to be a full-blown feud.
Yeah,
You know, like, he's a
I'm
comedy guy. It's okay that
yeah.
he doesn't get on pay-per-views. Like,
And now
man.
to circle this into a SummerSlam preview, we have a Human Money is on a Pole match between Danhausen and Dominic Mysterio.
Oh, yeah. So we're starting
Hopefully
on
this is.
the worst of the two nights. So maybe this was a good plan to start to
Yeah, yeah,
indirectly
yeah.
start here.
Yeah, I hope they have good ideas for this. I hope, because I think Dom will be game. I think if you use Danhausen correctly, it can be a lot of fun. But yeah, the next couple of weeks are not giving me a lot of hope here. So hopefully as I said, hopefully they got a good idea here. Hopefully it's not too long. Hopefully, they get on track with how to use Danhausen.
Yeah, and they can get Dom out of this situation too. Like, I
Yeah.
feel like he could be on to bigger and better things. As much as I like Danhausen, it feels like Dominic has more of a possible fringe main event type involvement that he could get his hands on, and that hey, Danhausen, the man could stick around for as long as Ron Killings has and do that type of thing. But again, like, while even with mentioning Ron Killings, R-Truth, they kind of almost did the same thing where they overexposed him at some point, and then they're finally like, oh, okay, yeah, that's right, we need to go back to like this guy being a segment a night kind of thing.
Yeah,
Everyone pops,
absolutely.
everyone pops when it comes on, everyone has fun. And then we're out, and then we're on to the rest of the show, you know, like.
Yeah, definitely.
So I did make the joke here already, I guess, that the second night of SummerSlam is the worst night, and Danhausen versus Dominic Mysterio is in fact on that card.
It is.
There is some other action happening on that. Maybe I'll go non-championship quite here. Sami Zayn versus Finn Balor, number one contender for the undisputed WWE Championship.
This should be aggressively fine, but I have no desire to see either of these guys challenge for the title again. And it's not going to do anyone any favor. It's not going to do anything to dispel the notion that this roster is aging at a very fast rate.
Yeah, that's the main thing that I can think of when I look at this because the WWE keeps on doing. I feel like this is something that maybe we harped on a lot when AEW started and they were leaning on a lot of their old guys and they kept on talking about, how long they've been fighting each other. And this was another one that sometime during SmackDown this week, I don't know who said it because it probably wasn't even Sami Zayn that mentioned. They're like, "Oh, Finn, you won the championship 10 years ago. That's a long time." And I'm just like, "Yeah, it's just another one of those." I know that they've kind of brought up how long he's been around recently, and it's just like. Oh man, you haven't done anything in a decade here now. Like, you've made money and obviously stuck on the roster, but they've done nothing to make me think that you're worthy of being, an undisputed WWE champion. So, like, what does it matter if you win this match?
No, and it was Gunther who said that, even though him and Gunther have
Oh.
nothing to do with each other currently. It's they've been able to in the past get Finn to be some type of title challenger when they need someone to headline a B show or what have you, but it's just we've already seen him go get go, we've seen it this year. He got two matches with Punk.
Oh. Yeah, like he ran into him backstage, and I'm like, and I think they even mentioned running it back a third time, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, guys, like, no, we don't really need
No,
to.
we don't need
Like,
to. And then,
I enjoyed both of the matches. I still don't need to have it be run back again.
no. I mean, none of these matches sound appealing for a PLE or the what is it? It's be September Sunday night's main event or whatever. It's just
No.
people want to move on from some of these people. And well, I know some of these guys haven't logged the same amount of time in main events. And oh, yeah, right. The other one was Priest telling Cody, "Yeah, I'm sick of all the same people." Why are they saying these things out loud if they don't have any intention of seemingly any intention of fixing it?
Yeah, and I feel like this is the second time that such a comment has been made. Priest is just the second. Like, I feel like maybe Bron Breakker said something
Well,
of that nature.
at least it's a little more appropriate from Bron Breakker than 41, 42-year-old Damian Priest.
Yeah, I mean, Priest at least has the argument that he's still within a WWE main event status new.
Yeah. And he's well,
But
he hasn't been main event
he
for a
is
long
not a
time for a while
young
either.
gent.
No, he's not a
Not
young.
yet.
This come. Yeah. It's I don't even know who to predict to win out of Sammy and Finn. Like, I guess Sammy, because you can do him and Puck again, or you could even do him and Cody as a singles match because they haven't really done them as a singles match. But again, I just don't care. I don't want to see it. I'm over both of these guys. I'm just over both of these guys. I just don't have any desire to see them to see them anymore. Do just about anything. If they can do like a dramatic, character change of some kind, maybe. But as themselves, as they stand today, and as they've been for God knows how long, no, I'm not interested.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Like, this is the like one of the matches that I don't care who the winner is. Like,
No, I don't
usually
care.
I'm
I
like,
don't.
I feel like there's some weight behind one guy or the other. And at this point, I'm like, I don't like they gave Sammy his championship win. Like, legitimately, what else does this guy have to accomplish?
No, there's not.
You
What
know,
else?
like he is not getting a long title reign, period, end of sentence.
No.
So, and like we've already discussed, Finn is not getting another championship reign himself. So, yeah, I do not really care who wins this, but I guess I'll go with Sammy just because he seems to be more at the top of the card than Finn.
Yeah.
So I guess
Oh,
if we're
yeah,
doing
that's right.
predictions,
Oh, yes. So I will go with Sammy.
okay. So
And we have to
double Sammy on that one. So we
double
got to circle
Sammy
back
and
to
Domin
Danhausen and
and
Dominic here.
Dom. I think I'm gonna go Dom wins, but then there's chicanery afterwards, so Danhausen can stand tall.
I'm with you here. I think that Dominic needs a dub to move on to bigger and
Yeah, he still needs to be
better
taken
things.
seriously heading into his AAA title match with El Grande Americano. They're teasing something with maybe doing something with him and Punk at Worlds Collide in Chicago at the end of September. Yeah, I think Dom could use some credibility, such as it is beating Danhausen in a match where he has to grab a bag, where he has to grab a bag of money off a pole to win.
Oh man. Well, I guess you referenced El Grande Americano and already talked about the hometown boy Chad Gable. So let's move on to his match here.
Yeah.
He is in an Intercontinental Championship match against Penta. And boy, has this build been weird.
It has been weird. It's really, this story is so primed for Gable to take the belt from a hated heel. It really should have been Dom in this picture. Well, Penta's had a good reign. This being a babyface match, it just doesn't fit well. This it could be
That's
the
been the
sleeper match.
weirdest thing about
Yes.
the build, honestly, is that it's almost been all focused on the Chad Gable redemption story, and they're like, oh, by the way, he's also fighting Penta, who's super popular. Like
Who has
that's the
already
way.
forgiven him? Who's already forgiven him for all his misdeeds?
Oh,
And they're
yeah, and that too.
friendly, and yeah, it's just so with Dan, doesn't it's just it's from that point of view, it's not working for me. Technically, this could be the sleeper match of the weekend. You got to give it credit
Oh,
for that.
yeah. If there is something going for Sunday night, as far as match quality goes, well, even nah, I don't think they're gonna give as much time to Sammy and Finn. So I feel like Penta and Chad might get a few extra minutes here.
Yeah.
So I do think that they maybe have a little higher probability of having the match of the weekend.
Yeah. And if Gable, since I think this is getting set up for Gable to finally win the title in his hometown in front of his whole family. We've literally seen his daughter cry after he lo losing a champion losing his shot at a championship. I think this
And
is
we had to
Chad.
watch her cry, or at least stand there stoically as he had to unmask and be a douche
Yeah.
down in Mexico. It would feel borderline criminal if they
Yeah.
had him lose again. As much,
Yeah,
you
no,
know, it's
I
another one
agree.
of those, as much as I love Penta, I think his presentation is great. I hope he moves on to bigger and better things himself. But yeah, this does not seem like his matchup to win.
No, it's definitely not. So yes, I'm going to predict Penta here.
You're picking
What?
Penta
No, I've been picking Chad Gable. Oh my God. I just completely
to
I completely brained for it
I'm
there.
like,
Thanks for
huh?
picking.
I'm like, really? Yeah.
Thank you.
So
Thank you. Thank you. Thank
we
you for pointing that out.
have agreed on all fronts at this point. Chad Gable gonna win one for the Viking ship here. So yeah, new Intercontinental Champion, Chad Gable. So there are a couple other matches here for championship. Oh yeah, it's just championships left here on Sunday to discuss. Let's switch over to the other B championship here.
Oh,
Trick
please.
Williams is defending the United States Championship against Baron Corbin. So we get the IC and the US Championships same night.
Yeah, that doesn't feel right. It really doesn't feel right, but I guess who cares? I mean, what are we doing? Why is Baron Corbin back? Why has he been? Not that I would ever want to see him beat Trick Williams for the US title, but why is he immediately being put in the situation that he's going to lose? And he should lose. There's no argument that he should win this match. None. Yeah, it's just not a
Yep,
good.
you are covering all of the bases. I don't feel like
Yeah.
there's anything on my part to be able to add.
Yeah, I mean the only thing he th th there's two things he brings to the table, but that is that he is at least he's around the same size as Trick, so Trick's no stops messing around with the little fellas. And then he's just a heel. He's all it's he's not cool. He's not trying to be cool or funny or anything. He's just a bad guy. The problem is he's just this version of him just isn't fun to watch either. You're just you've never gotten you, they tried so many times and it never took. And the only time it almost took was they were pretty much on the verge of turning him babyface, and then they walked it back during the Bro Corbin's era.
Oh, yeah, and then he started to do. I would say that it's a slightly different version of the character in NXT. You know,
Yeah.
he was kind of more biker Corbin there than this is more classic heel Baron Corbin that was on the main roster. And
Yeah, I agree.
like you said, like he's yeah,
He'd
he's
be
getting
fine in a tag.
put
He'd be
in
fine.
a
He'd be Go ahead.
He's gonna, just like so many other people, just coming back to lose right away. And then it's just like, I kind of understand that that's really his rung on the ladder is just to eat some L's. Again, though, the guy's been gone for a year. Can we get him a win or two before he gets into this situation?
Yeah, I agree.
To at least reheat him a little bit. Because I don't even think has he had a singles match on SmackDown to,
No,
just.
he hasn't had a match.
Yeah, just have him run a squash match.
Yeah, just do something. Yeah, this does not make sense that they couldn't find somebody else to give Trick a win at SummerSlam. Yeah, there's no credibility here. No one cares. It's Trick's Corbin's not a guy. Corbin's not a strong veteran hand that you put a young guy with, and Trick's not good enough at this point to carry a slug.
Yeah, I guess this one just has a chance to be a kind of blah match.
Yeah, blah. Hopefully,
I don't
short
think it's going to
is.
be
Yeah.
terrible because I don't think either of them are, necessarily bad in the ring, but like you said, they're also not like the most technical guys or the flashiest in the ring, so. Yeah, there's a high potential for because it's not even going to be a slugfest match. Like you kind of talked about Trick and Corbin being close to the same size. It's not going to be kind of a banger type match. Like I don't
Yeah,
think it's
no,
going to be a
just
Sheamus versus Bronson Reed or something. Even in that
no.
vein, unfortunately.
No, yeah, Trick's too pretty. Trick's too finesse. Yeah, he's not that guy. No. And again, this is about just giving Trick a win at SummerSlam over someone with some size. this, you know, because again, we've been doing this weird in between stuff, the tweener stuff with him since WrestleMania. He hasn't really completed the, he never really completed the face turn that from WrestleMania.
It was shocking to me that evidently Little Yachty was finally tied up this past week and did not make the trip to like Philadelphia with Trick Williams. So
Yeah.
I don't know if untethering himself from I don't feel like Yachty pushed him one way or the other. I do think that establishing your own character on the main roster is still more important than having a sidekick already.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I do think Yachty could be obnoxious in a way that kept Trick on, in, you know, once again, so on the fence. You know, you did that thing a few
Yeah.
weeks back where he backhanded Melo, who's, you know, clearly solidly a baby face. It just,
Oh, yep.
again, the these some real bad character writing going on in WWE right now. We've made that, you know, these dynamics of these constant face versus face matches, and again, that's the only, this is, that's one of the only, like, the only thing this match offers is that at least Trick can finally just be a baby face and beat a heel
Oh, yeah.
and move on, and hopefully it's just no more of this. We don't need any more of this him and Melo going back and forth stuff, unless Melo's gonna turn. Yeah, it's just, yeah. Again, I'm just trying to find different ways to say it's just not good. They're coming to me.
One thing that also is gonna be kind of interesting. Oh, 'cause I think we both picked tricks, so I mean, I feel like
Yeah,
we
of
can
course,
move
yeah.
on from that one. The other under the main event title match here, five-way women's ladder match for the interim women's championship. Evidently, they still think that Rhea Ripley is going to be back shortly enough that they're calling this an interim championship.
Yeah.
This is kind of interesting. And it looks like we have Tiffany Stratton, Jade Cargill, Chelsea Green, Charlotte Flair, and then one of either Julia or Lash Legend are going to be in the match here.
I'm imagining it'll be Lash Legend then from that group.
I would lean towards Lash Legend. I don't think either of them's going to win, so I'm not sure it's terribly relevant
Right,
either.
yeah. And at least Julia would at least give someone smaller in the match to do a lot of bumps and flying. Because you also got Charlotte in the match, you got Jade in the match, and then you have Tiffany and Chelsea in the match. Yeah.
Yep.
They're fine in that scenario. Again, this whole thing has been very strange. I don't understand the purpose. I'm still not totally understanding the purpose of this. And then, you know, we're taking the Charlotte Flair Jade Cargill singles match off the board. That still doesn't make
Oh.
sense to me at all.
Yeah.
It feels like they cancel each other out. I don't think either of them needs to win here, because the whole thing here is the winner of this will face Rhea Ripley, you know, in the down the line, however long that is.
Oh,
It's
yes,
apparently,
which
I
they
mean,
have
fairly
said
immediately.
out
The idea
loud.
is it's fairly immediate. The idea is it's a fairly immediate, you know, match will be made as soon as Rhea gets cleared. So, in the vein, I guess Lash Legend could pull it off, because that's a super one battle. You could sell that. You sell her versus Rhea.
Oh, yeah.
But I also think that this fake championship could really, 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 really be funny to see around Chelsea Green. We could get the scenario where Tiffany's about to, you know, get the belt. She's also in her hometown. She's gonna, you know, crowd presumably going crazy. And then her quote, her new best friend pushes her off the ladder and takes it for herself. And then she declares herself the, Chelsea gonna declare herself the women's champion, not say interim. She can really play this up and really drive it home before Rhea comes back. So yeah, I'm willing to predict Chelsea Green.
I think that's a pretty decent prediction because I mean, I was looking at the list here, and as much as you could have the battle of Lash and Rhea, two big women lined up for you. Like you said, it feels like Charlotte Flair and Jade Cargill are going to cost each other in some way, shape, or form here. Depending upon how legitimately hurt Alexa Bliss is, she could come back and help against the baddies should they show up or whatever they're being called these days. So I mean, I really do think it's narrowed down to me between Tiffany Stratton and Chelsea Green. And we do not need a double champion, nor do we need a very AEW thing to happen in this, where Tiffany is the champion of one division and then gets the interim tag and then loses immediately in another championship match. We have railed against that setup in other companies. I am not going to change my stance when it comes to a different company doing the same thing. Like Chelsea Green does seem like the prime candidate in this matchup. I mean, would I be shocked if Jade or Charlotte won it? Not really. But again, like if you're gonna have a fairly quick match with Rhea in return, why did you even start there? You to start with? I mean, they could be changing course. I mean, I guess that's the one thing. I'm trying to convince myself of of having a secondary pick here and not completely agreeing down the line with you here. But I think I'm with you. I think Chelsea Green, it seems like kind of the logical pick here. And she just gets smashed by Rhea when we get back, and then Rhea moves on to other things, and Chelsea does too. So last match of night two, SummerSlam. This has definitely gotten its fair share of build up here. Also been a whipping boy for us talking about feuds that have been around for a long time and why the main event is possibly stale. Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins for the World's Heavyweight Championship. Just really feels like they're leaning into Roman is finally gonna get his win here. Just
Oh yeah.
from all of the everything that they've harped on that point a lot in the promos, and Seth Rollins getting the upper hand on Monday before we closed up shop one last time. Because I mean, I do think that Roman has gotten a one up on Seth on a couple of occasions here, but I feel like Rollins is maybe in like a 3-2 kind of situation of upping Roman at the end of a show.
That's probably true. I'm definitely seeing a Roman Reigns retaining the title. They've done what they can with this. They've based it around their history. They've taken stiff shots against each other on the microphone. They've both taken their advantages physically. There's no reason this shouldn't be really good.
Oh.
Unless it just goes way too long, which is a possibility with both guys. They try to do that cinematic, oh my God, where they're just talking to each other the whole match and just like, huh, little brother, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, like
And
that really, they have had some really slow start matchups like that in these 2-night main event type slots,
they have, and just
you
generally,
know.
well, a number of Roman Reigns' title matches during his epic reign went like that. Rollins isn't above doing stuff like that either. The la I hope they don't they don't overthink this and make it really overwrought with that kind of drama. It's been done to death, and I don't know if anyone wants to see it between these two at this point.
And it's, yeah, the stakes still don't feel high enough to be doing that either. As much as they've done a good job of building this, and I know that the World Heavyweight Championship's involved, it's still another one of those scenarios where it doesn't seem like this right time for Seth Rollins to win it again.
No, it
So I
really
think
doesn't. No.
that's to me, that to me is kind of hurting the situation too. Like I feel like the regular wrestling tea leaves are there for him to lose, and also just from a logical point of sense, like the company is more based around Roman.
It is. It is. And I guess the question is, what would be next for Roman Reigns? And does Roman go away for a while? Or I could say, or does Roman Reigns Roman go away for a while?
Yeah, that part will be interesting.
That's the thing
So
about closing the whole weekend with this match is, does, if we're not predicting a title change, obviously, it doesn't look like that's what's going to happen. What's the big moment that sends us off the air? Is it just Roman Reigns, putting the finger in the air as the fireworks rain? Is that it? Is there a big angle? Because there's a real chance of this feeling very anticlimactic at the end, even though the match is technically good.
yeah, I would say to use this as a transition to night number one. I don't feel like the other Bloodline involved matchup really has that much of a chance to spill into night two.
No, it really doesn't. We've and it shouldn't. We've established that. We did that silly segment with, and I get it, everything they've done with the bloodline beneath Roman Reigns has just been terrible. I mean, this is literally some of the worst writing in they've done in years. It's so
Yeah.
bad. We don't know who the face is. We don't know who the heel is. We don't know anything. It's just. We're being told about history we know nothing about with various people. Everyone's just kind of being a jerk. It's terrible. And no one wants to see Solo Sikoa running on a main event on SummerSlam Sunday. No one wants to see Royce Keyes involved in the main event of SummerSlam Sunday. I might give something to LA Knight, but again, even then, it's like, why?
Yeah, and they've downgraded Jacob Fatu enough that it's just like,
Oh,
why
he
is he
has.
get why is he getting involved? Like if he's the one
Yeah.
to pop into the main events, just like why is
I
he
mean,
getting this
the
push?
only person who is in any way rising to an occasion here is LA Knight, who is just doing these, who is really doing excellent promo work to try to sell this just convoluted mess of a situation. And there's just doesn't seem. There's no guarantee there's any reward for him for any of this.
No, it is yeah, he could go down as one of the most interesting characters of this time period.
Is. It's such a what if. He's just such a what if, because it just was never his time.
Yeah,
He
it's
was
been
over enough.
never his time for 4 years, which is
Yeah.
a really long time to have that tag. You
Yeah,
know,
he's been
normally
he
you
it,
go away before that.
yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right. It's become a what if. And it's like, is he ever gonna get a match with Roman again? Is and again, and it is getting back to, I guess, going across, getting back to Roman, because he's so, he hovers over all of this. Is like, is he ever gonna start feud? Is he ever gonna feud with heels despite being the top baby face? Like what are we doing here?
Yeah, they're not feeding the right people to Roman either.
No, they're absolutely not.
They are not doing themselves any favors as
No.
far as that goes. So I guess this one almost falls into the Sami Zayn Finn Balor category here for me. This six-man match. Do we have the LA Knight, Solo Sikoa, Royce Keys coalition? Boy, why was that so hard to say? Or the Bloodline taking this matchup,
First of all, I don't care, but I get, but I guess
sir?
the bloodline always wins, and the bloodline's not going to lose to this weird makeshift team.
Yeah, I feel like Solo or Royce are taking the pin here. Solo's been a bit of a focal point in his feud, so I feel like it'd be kind of interesting if he took the L to further whatever they're trying to get to on that front.
Whatever they're trying to get to, which is just stupid, bad, convoluted.
Yeah, don't really love that either.
No.
So not looking forward to the continuation. Okay, this one was under next here, under at least on Wikipedia here. Gunther versus Nick Aldis. I kind of laughed that my phone gave me a headline that said Seth Rollins shocked to find out that Nick Aldis is younger than him.
That's classic. Yeah, and that sums everything up right there.
You know, that is really that is something else. And I do believe it's like a 41-39 kind of
Something
situation.
like that. Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, I don't remember. Yeah, all
Because I don't
the
think
we
Seth
did
is
this weeks ago,
super.
actually. We went through this. Yeah. He's actually younger than most of the main eventers. Yeah.
Yeah, just.
Yeah, they've done.
Oh,
They've
yeah,
I,
39 to
but
40.
yeah, I guess they've, they've done a good enough job with this, for what it is, for a heel, Bates, a former wrestler who's in management, back into the ring type storyline. Gunther is a great heel. They've just done him no favors this summer at all. He has been, they have squandered all of the momentum from retiring Cena. There's nothing left.
Yeah, he has definitely had it rough since
He has
the
taken more pinfall losses since June, since, or should I say late May, since, for talking literally, for Clash in Italy. He has taken more pins, more pinfall losses in the last 2 months than he has in the last 2 years combined. I would have ventured to say.
Oh, I would not be surprised to learn that you're correct. I'll put it
Because it's
that
at
way
least
without
three.
really looking it
Because I
up.
imagine it's at least three. Okay, let me see. He did take
Yep.
the pin. He took the pinfall loss at Clash in Italy. He took the pinfall loss at on that episode of SmackDown with Sami Zayn as the referee. That still counts.
Oh, yes. Yes.
He didn't take the pin in the triple threat, but he did take the pin in the tag match on Saturday's main event. That's three pinfall losses.
Oh
It might be
yeah, 'cause
even.
that's right, 'cause Cody took the pin in the triple threat match.
Or I know the Jey Uso match was a submission. So let's go back now. Let's take a look at
Oh
Gunther's.
my.
at Gunther's.
Yeah.
Let's just look at Gunther's
Oh my gosh.
losses. Let's just look at Gunther. Okay, the first loss he took was the Sami Zayn match. Okay, so Gunther's losses.
Just this calendar year.
I'm going back 2 years.
Oh, okay.
Well,
Oh,
it'll
okay.
show
Yeah,
both.
yeah,
It'll
yeah,
show
yeah,
both.
yeah.
The AI will show
Okay.
both. Okay, so Sami Zayn, Cody Rhodes at the Crown Jewel match, Jey Uso, CM Punk. Interestingly, they're not counting these yet. The 2026 losses in the
Oh,
AI overview. But whatever, we know that number
weird.
is three.
Yeah,
So
at least three.
yes, three. So and Gunther has only lost four times between WrestleMania 40, those losses took place between and SummerSlam last year. So in about a year and a half, a little less, he has now taken three-fourths of the amount of losses that he took in about a year and a half. And of course, the 2 years before that, he was undefeated. Other than a count-out loss to Chad Gable.
Wow, man.
They have really screwed him up. And it's not even just that he's lost. There's been some really screwy finishes, some really stupid finishes. They've involved him in too much silliness. Yeah, it's not a good look for him.
Yeah.
This man needs to murder Nick Aldis on Saturday.
And he's probably not going to.
I think Aldis will. I mean, murder. I mean, I'm probably being probably overdoing it with murder there. I'm
Well, we
exaggerating
all
with
know
murder
that
there.
he's not going to be dead in the ring. I mean, it's
Right. I
professional
know.
at this point.
I mean, like it's gonna just gonna be a squash where Aldis gets no offense. Aldis is gonna get
Right.
some offense. I mean, they're gonna do some
Yes.
stuff with this, and it might end up being good. It might be one of the better things of the weekend. Who knows? But Gunther still gains nothing. Gunther can't lose this match. But
No.
he also gains nothing
No.
from winning it.
Yeah, that's the bit, this is even worse than the Baron Corbin situation. Like we officially know that Nick Aldis hasn't wrestled for what, the 2 years that he's been on SmackDown?
It's three. It's been three,
Three.
actually. Yeah.
So, we know that at least all of these comeback matches where people have come back from injury, they talk about people being rusty, this, that, or the other thing. And it's just like, without Aldis having wrestled a match before this one, those are just to lead on or add on to your example there. Like, these are more reasons why the Gunther win isn't going to matter as much, even if he did squash him. It's just like this guy's been off wrestling for 3 years, at least as far as we know. Like,
And it goes,
did he wrestle on the indies? I don't know, and I don't care.
yeah,
It
all
wasn't
that,
on
yeah.
WWE TV, so it doesn't
No, and
really
that's the
matter.
big point. That's maybe the biggest point is that nobody. This man is not a legend. This man is not a form. When they've done these things in the past, where the retired wrestler is dragged back into the ring, it's somebody who has reached legendary status, or at least something akin to it, or they
Yeah,
were a
they're at
big
least
star in
really
that company
known
in
for
that day.
something. Yeah.
Yes. A large percentage of this audience has never seen a Nick Aldis match. The scarier stat is a large percentage of the people who have never actually been impressed.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're on the list. As much as I think Aldis has been a good wrestler. I'm
He's solid.
also, yeah, I'm also not like, oh yeah, like why isn't he in a main event
No,
at
right.
WrestleMania? Like that, I'm not even that. That's a different, a planet or two over at least.
Yeah.
So Yeah, like even me being more positive on him, it's like, yeah, Gunther should beat him, period, end of sentence, you know, like let's move on after this thing. And I guess I am kind of interested just because it came from the segment. If they're, you know, they kind of made it a point that he was losing his power as GM to be able to wrestle this match. I do wonder if that's going to be an extended time period thing or not here. You know, that's kind of an interesting situation. Like, is Aldis going to come back to the ring now after this? It almost seems weird for him to go back to SmackDown General Manager, to be honest with you, especially if Gunther's going to stick around there. Then they're just constantly butting heads. I don't love that look either. So
No, I don't love it either. So yeah, I guess he's just gonna be a wrestler, a 39-year-old, yet another old guy, older guy. Again, Triple H just loved doing that, and there's a point where maybe it kind of worked, but just hiring these journeyman wrestlers who are already in their mid to late 30s is a hallmark of Triple H that just the upside just isn't there for it.
Yeah, and I mean we've already talked enough about how it's the last couple of weeks about how it's keeping down some of the younger wrestlers. Even if those guys aren't exactly young themselves. I don't know what that is the interesting thing. Like if Aldis does come back as a full-time wrestler, like what spot does he really fill? You know, like I guess he's kind of, but again, he doesn't have the WWE history of a Sheamus, you
No,
know,
really
of
doesn't. No.
being kind of a tough out that, you know, you get a banger out of all the time. It's just like, you know, for all the reasons we listed already. So, okay, round of Gunther's on that one. Coming down to a match that I just don't care about that much either. The Bella Twins, along with Paige, are taking on Fatal Influence in a six-woman tag match here. Nikki Paige, jeez, Nikki Bella came back this past Friday here to save her sister and their buddy Paige from a 3-on-2 beatdown, setting up this match here. I feel like this is maybe the ops there. This is a baby face true victory here since Lainey and Fallon still have the championships.
That's not what I want to. That's not what I want to see. I want to see. And oh my God, are we going to disagree finally? shit, did we? No. Wait. Hold on. Wait, did we make a prediction in the last match? Oh, wait, that's right, Gunther. We both said Gunther.
Yeah,
Okay, yeah, of
double
course.
Gunthers.
Double
Yep.
Gunther. Okay, I
Double
think
Gunther, double
Fatal.
Bloodline for night one here so far.
I think Fatal Influence had a really fast start, where for whatever reason intentionally slowed. Then they get the tag belts, and now JC's calling out Tiffany for the US title, which she absolutely 100% should be the one to get, unless it's also going to Blake Monroe, who's buzzing around Tiffany. But regardless of that, my prediction for this match: Fatal Influence wins, and either during or after the match, the Bella Twins turn against Paige and go heel.
Oh, yeah, because that was the one thing I was wondering with the with Nikki being back, if Paige ends up breaking off one way or the other, and we get a Nikki and Brie matchup against Lainey and Fallon, was what my line of thinking was
Could do
that.
that too. Could
So, but whatever the scenario, it's weird. Like, I don't know if anyone really wants to boo the Bellas, honestly. You know, like it's
I
one of
think
those.
people only want to boo the Bellas. That's a,
Oh,
or
okay.
they or they like to boo Nick. Nikki is the one they find people find unlikable, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like she can, she kind of has the bitchy energy to her. So, I could see how that, that could be the case. Yeah, so, okay. First split here, I think. The Bella Army versus Fatal Influence here, but yeah, I guess what it's a whatever matchup still in the scheme of things here. Sticking with the ladies here because I feel like we can leave the top two matches to discuss last here. Liv Morgan is the champion. Io Sky is the contender. I
In
feel like
Liv
they've done.
Morgan's, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead.
I feel like they've done segments with this, but I also feel like Liv Morgan has been so involved in other stuff that
Oh, yes.
that this matchup has lost a little bit of something. Maybe it just also hurts because they did meet up in Queen of the Ring,
They met up in
so
Queen of the Ring.
and there's not enough of a history there to like to pull off kind of a Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins situation where
No,
you're
there's not for that,
working
no.
off of nostalgia to build up the match. So yeah, it was it. I guess in that regard, it was a tough match to try and build while having limited interactions and not to have Io just get beat up week after week after week with
Yeah,
no
they had a
help
weird thing with the
whatsoever.
knee, her knee, and Liv Morgan doing a one-legged crab finish that just doesn't fit her. Yeah, and of course they've been all up involved in the Dominic in the Dom in the Dominic Mysterio Danhausen feud. They've been
Yes.
involved with Raquel and Sol Ruka and the Intercontinental. They essentially almost did the same finish, except yes, last night Raquel Rodriguez did finally win a singles championship. She is the Intercontinental Champion. Which does mean that that Liv Morgan got one up on Io Sky, although I don't think it's going to matter in those terms. And so
Oh,
I will
right.
predict that Liv Morgan will retain the championship in her first title defense since WrestleMania.
Oh, my. Rhea Ripley is going to have a quicker turnaround on a title defense with an injury thrown in there
I'm sure they'll and I'm sure they'll
than
let
Liv
they should at
Morgan.
least and they also should at least let the interim champion get a defense or two in before Rhea comes back as well to at least give this thing some credibility.
Oh man. But I'm kind of with you here. Like I feel like Io Sky is getting set up for the L here. She just hasn't had a lot of push behind her. We've discussed in general in the WWE a lack of heels. Liv Morgan is certainly a heel. I feel like you need to keep the strap on her.
Yeah.
Especially if Stephanie Vaquer ever comes back from whatever black hole she dropped into.
Yeah, and I imagine that's coming very soon.
Yep. Women's championship out of the paint. Next up here, Hell in a Cell, Oba Femi versus Brock Lesnar. I feel like they had a fairly creative segment, all things considered. This past Monday was not really looking forward to a weigh-in,
No,
and
of
I
course
didn't
not.
really get one
No,
either.
and not a proper weigh-in. They were both wearing, Oba was wearing his boots. Like, Like, what are we doing with that? Yeah. It's not how you do a weigh-in.
Yeah, I laughed
It was
that
silly.
like he takes everything, he takes his shirt off, takes this off, and I'm like your shoes are loosely tied. You're not gonna at least kick those off before you get onto the scale. Like, if you feel like keeping your pants on, I guess sure, whatever, but we know that those boots are adding a few pounds.
But
And then
yeah,
I
it
did
was.
have to laugh though, as a bit of a moment of recall, when Paul Heyman said that Brock Lesnar weighed in backstage and weighed 303 pounds. I'm just like, this is one of those stupid dick measuring contests. And Paul Heyman did a good job of highlighting it that he's a whole pound heavier than Obafemi, as if that matters in a heavyweight matchup. It's a good detail, but I also don't think that it matters.
But no, I mean, this is. Does it open Saturday? And then something has to follow it?
Yeah, even though I care about this card more, the spot for this matchup is really interesting because not that we need to do the preview part of it, but I don't see any way that CM Punk and Cody Rhodes does not close the show.
No, I think they will absolutely will close. Yeah, I mean, I
So, yeah, and
you could
Brock
have this
Lesnar has
open.
been a king at openers.
He has, and this is going to be probably be a different type of match than they've been having. Because you got to use the cage, you got to introduce some degree of weapon, chairs, whatever, in into the
Yeah.
match. The steps, you got to have, definitely a more
Maybe
violent, a more physical type of
a
match. A
couple of tables are
longer,
gonna break.
yeah, long, you know, a longer, certainly a longer match. Although even if it longer could still mean only 10 minutes, 8 to 10 minutes.
Yeah,
It's
this
gonna be a
is going to
lot.
be one of the. Oh, now that's kind of something that I want to look up here. Hell in a Cell matches. Which one is the longest?
Oh, it's gonna be that Triple H Shawn Michaels deal.
Or shortest?
The shortest. Okay, the shortest. Yeah, it's gonna be longest I know. A lot of people hate that Triple H Shawn Michaels match from, well, 20 some years ago. Because of how long it is. And how slowly they just beat on each other.
Yeah, let's see if they have a quick answer here. Okay, yeah, they have a full list. Shawn Michaels, Undertaker, 30 minutes. Holy smokes. Number one.
That's number one? Because
Well,
the
no,
okay.
that's the first Hell in a Cell
Oh, the
match.
first Hell in a Cell match. Okay, I thought that you were
It
ranking them.
was 30 minutes. Okay, Mankind versus Kane
That should
ended in
really
a
count.
no
Yeah.
contest on a Raw that was
Yeah, that shouldn't count.
7:41. Oof, boy.
Yeah, that shouldn't
But
count.
Undertaker versus Boss Man at WrestleMania 15,
Oof, that was bad.
9:48.
And terrible every step of the way. And 9:48 too long. 9:45 too long.
It's wild. The two guys that I love a lot of their wrestling matches. This is another one that probably does not count here. John Cena versus Alberto Del Rio, CM Punk, Dolph Ziggler, and Jack Swagger on. Oh, it's a dark match. Get out of here. That definitely doesn't count. I just read that part. okay. Oh, there was the double Hell in a Cells. Even those were longer. It is looking like Undertaker and Big Boss Man are taking the cake for shortest match. Most of
Okay,
these
this.
are longer than that.
Oh, well, Hell in a Cell has been always been designed to be pr pr pretty damn long.
Yeah. But there are a decent chunk of these 12 and 15 minute ones. Like, I honestly forgot that, I can't believe that Bobby Lashley and Xavier Woods were in a Hell in a Cell match. I feel like that had to have been on
Yes,
a
Chase.
pay-per-view or something.
That was,
Well,
I
it
think that was
says
just on
Monday
Raw.
Night Raw.
Yes.
But I'm like, huh? How did that
In the
get beamed in
Thunderdome, no
there?
one there. Yeah.
Oof, boy, do not remember. So yeah, there are some on the shorter side. So yeah, I guess 10 to 12 minutes would not be out of the question, I guess, and would not honestly get to the shortest Hell in a Cell match either. So
Right.
I do think that this one will be on the shorter side of things, though.
Yeah, in terms of classic Hell in a Cell matches, yes. But it
Yes.
will be longer than the average, longer than these two have been doing, and longer than your
Oh,
average
yes.
Brock Lesnar match for sure. It will
Agreed.
be very, yes. And again, match, and I would say for most people, the match people are most looking forward to.
And it
For
could be checked off.
for
Match one, night one.
yeah. Yeah, I mean hopefully when Brock wants to, he can have a banger.
Yes.
And he seems like he actually enjoys working with Olavemi. So hopefully that they'll have I mean, obviously the WrestleMania match was what it was. The Italy match was more than that, but it was, Brock mostly dominating. And
Yep,
then and
and
this
still another
will maybe
short match.
a little bit more of a back and forth struggle. Again, they could do a
Oh.
lot with it. They could, if they're willing to put themselves out there and beat the hell out of each other. Again, I was just say it all depends on Brock's mood when he walks in there, essentially.
Yeah, like you said, like he seems to like the meaty men slap and meat situation, and Obafemi meets those qualifications. So I do feel like Brock's going to really go for it. This is one though that I feel like the winner in this is pretty predictable.
Oh yeah.
Because Obafemi should really win this thing.
Yeah, Obafemi should definitely win this thing. Yeah, absolutely.
So, that's agreed on the outcome. So that does leave us with Charles Michael Punk taking on Cody Rhodes for the undisputed WWE Championship
Yes.
as we've already agreed, the main event of night one here.
This match should be excellent. I don't think it'll be less than very good. But this
Agreed.
buildup has been left a lot to be desired. It has been very contrived. All the stuff about Punk, Cody telling Punk, "I love you, but I don't like you." And again, it's just been like the misunderstandings trope that they do when baby faces face each other like this. It all just feels so forced. Like they just
And
needed a big main
Cody
event to.
being all salty about having the belt strap touch his face.
Yeah.
Just like, oh gosh, like this is what we're going for here?
Yeah,
Like,
they did. They just did. They had nothing to. They had nothing for this, really, in terms of trying to make it interesting. It's just the idea of these two wrestling each other. They've teased it for years. It's finally happening, and it's happening in the least exciting way possible, it feels like.
Yeah, kind of wild. It's really not gotten a whole lot of build up, and yeah, really did not help that they hot potatoed the championship over to CM Punk and still have whether you like it or not, a lingering Sami Zayn kind of within earshot of this thing going on.
Yeah, and Finn Balor,
And Gunther, I guess,
and
really.
Gunther again, a demoted, demoralized, a beaten down himself, Gunther. And yeah, and the for the first time in the existence of the World Heavyweight Championship, it is being treated as more important than the Undisputed WWE Championship that has all the lineage.
It's definitely interesting. It is interesting what's transpired here with that
Yeah.
that championship in a very short time period here.
Yeah. Predictions. I haven't really. I mean, other than the. I mean, you can't count the women's ladder match. I haven't really predicted any title changes at all. I don't think you are. Neither you or I have.
No, we had Liv Morgan retaining, and that is the only
No.
championship.
Chad Gable. Chad Gable. Chad Gable winning.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Chad
Okay.
is a title change. Yeah. Because
Yes.
I was going
Okay.
to
So
start
sorry,
running
folks.
through them here.
Yeah. No. Yeah. No.
But it is
That
kind of
is.
funny that there are more title matches on Sunday than there are on the Saturday show here. Because there's only the two championship
Yeah.
matches
That's true.
Saturday with, is it one? Because both interim, well, I guess the interim match is technically a championship match. So Danhausen, yeah, so it's 4 of 6 night two or championship matches, and it's
Okay.
only two of six
All right.
on Saturday.
Well, I don't see the title changing here. We've had the potato. This championship has been hot potato this year in a way that, WWE championships have not been hot potatoed in an incredibly long
Years,
time, in years and years.
definitely in years.
And so I don't see CM Punk losing the title here. I think CM Punk retains, and then we might get a again, much like this talking about maybe the second night, we might get some kind of a big angle here. I don't know what that is, if someone's gonna turn or if somebody's going to return or what, but it,
Oh, right.
yeah, it, there's you know there's you know one Randall Orton and Kevin and also Kevin Owens are out there to potentially get
Oh.
involved in the situations with these with these gentlemen. There's possibly Drew McIntyre as well, although McIntyre has wrestled Punk and Cody so many times. neither match sounds interesting to me, but
No, he can
there are some
continue
variables
to
out.
enjoy his time on set.
Yeah, I think, yeah. His future will also be interesting because it as an aside here, yeah. It doesn't feel like McIntyre has much left. It feels like they jerked him around a little bit this year, and I wouldn't blame him if he obviously he's had a great career, but I wouldn't blame him if he's looking elsewhere.
Neither would I. If he saw what happened to his good buddy Sheamus, and he's like,
Yeah, that's what
"Oh,
I want
I
for him.
kind of feel like this thing's gonna happen to me here too." Although, I mean, I've got to think that he's a bit younger than Sheamus.
Yeah.
41, yeah. So he's a bit younger than
He's a bit.
Sheamo.
He's a bit. Yeah. But anyway, regardless, whatever shenanigans could take place, I see CM Punk retaining the championship.
Agreed. So yeah, it is kind of wild that Chad Gable is the only championship change per se. Obviously, the interim's gonna crown a new champion, so that will feel like something. Yeah, it's a lot of retentions, it seems like, in the air here for SummerSlam. Anything else to talk about before we wrap this bad boy up here, sir?
No,
'Cause
nothing
yeah,
I really.
I did not entertain even watching Collision, given that I was
Not.
not going to buy AEW Redemption. So that one definitely took a hit from just non-interest
Yeah, and I guess
in the whole situation.
in Redemption sounds like it was a show. People who tend to like AEW enjoyed
Oh
it.
my! Oh,
Yeah. Apparently.
you know
Go
what?
ahead. You got something?
Yeah, I need to pull it up on my phone
Okay.
because it was something that it was another one of those moments where I'm just sitting there like Ricochet just doesn't know when to shut up sometimes.
Oh, God.
Oh, so this guy who evidently does not seem very popular, 'cause he's not getting a whole lot of likes himself, says AEW has one B show level pay-per-view before their biggest pay-per-view of the year, and everyone loses their minds, laughing my ass off. In through the nose, out through the mouth, folks. This is one where I sit here and I mean, 697 likes is probably more than anything Stunt Granny's ever fired off. I also don't understand why I got 697 likes because I didn't see anyone losing their minds or thinking that this was bad timing ahead of All In. Like I didn't feel like I saw any criticism of where this was placed. Like they're adding pay-per-views. Like you got to put them somewhere.
Yeah. I mean,
So like so that was weird to me that A, just the premise of this tweet confused me immensely. Like it didn't feel like it was something out there. Like did you see anything about people just really giving the placement of this pay-per-view like a condescending vibe to it?
I don't know if it's the placement, it's just the way they're creative, was crescendoing a month later, and it's just the weird parts are the title changes that have taken place right before All In. The Kenny Omega win, the Willow Nightingale win. So now there weren't we don't have these long title reigns coming to a conclusion or coming to a proper climax in
Well,
the in the
in
biggest
their
show of the
big
year. I
pay-per-view.
mean the stuff with I mean the
Yeah.
I mean I, again it's the main storyline in AEW right now is another one of those convoluted babyface feuds,
Oh,
a heel
yeah.
faction sticking their nose in it. Did it just it does it, so there's no I know they try to do a thing where Omega laid out then Omega lays out Osprey and he's being a jerk, so it's just not I don't. You'd think All In's kind of the slam dunk pay per view of the year to for people for casual AEW fans to order.
Right.
I don't know if I'm seeing it with this one, but who knows? They got a month.
Yeah, I mean Tony Khan does not do himself any favors. So that was the original tweet. And then Ricochet says in quotation marks, fans, end the quotations, are the worst part of the industry.
Well,
And
that's
it's just,
true.
yeah, but it's also like,
I get it. You don't shouldn't say it.
yeah, like he Ricochet wasn't added. There was no reference to Ricochet in the original post.
Oh, that's the worst. So, no celebrity should ever. No public figure should ever do that. Should ever go.
Yeah,
Searching for things like that to go off on and fans,
if you
yeah.
have some valid criticism to make, that's something that, I mean, everyone knows. Like, how long have we been? I mean, we argued against it with dumb people online saying how terrible Jey Uso was. And it's just like, guys, look at the crowd here. Like, isn't rocket science. Everyone in the arena is loving this stuff. And this is kind of the same thing. Like, just leave it alone, man. Like, you're not, like you said, it's not that he was wrong. It's just that you don't need to be making, you as a wrestler do not need to be making that comment. You know, unless you're saying like, hey, fans, stop stalking people. I think that's a pretty reasonable way to use your platform. But that just, it made me roll my eyes. Like, it's just, again, like, it's one of those things. It's kind of inconsequential, but also, it just, lay off Twitter, man. Like, you really have a problem if you're needing to respond to that tweet. So, Beltane beer of the show. I had a bit of a beer exchange with my brothers down at the lake house a week and a half ago or so. And one of the beers brought down was from my younger brother who lives in the Pittsburgh area. And this one's from Hitchhiker Brewing Citrus Summer Lemon Wheat Ale. It is a pretty light one. I'm trying to, where's the ABV on this bad boy? Because this went to, oh, 4.5%. This one went down pretty easy. It did have a nice lemony flavor to it. It's a wheat ale, so it doesn't have the pungent hopness that an IPA has. This is a very good summer light beer. Should one happen to find themselves in Pittsburgh, go ahead and go on over to Hitchhiker Brewing and grab a beverage or two for yourself. They have some pretty delicious stuff like this Citrus Summer floating out there. So Beltane beer suggestion from Matt DeFrango 11. He is oh yeah, I that's the first time in a while I've forgotten that you don't have an ad anymore. Brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Download us at other places like YouTube Music and iHeartRadio. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.